Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hello and welcome to The Real Deal with the Reality Coach. I tell you what, I am just ecstatic that I am able to speak to you great people about real, in real time, real talk and real issues. But the first thing I want you all to do is go outside or, matter of fact, just look at your phones and tell me the temperature where you are. Here in Mesquite, it's a sunny 68. It's nice out, and I can tell it's going to be a beautiful day. So I just want you to put in your temperature and your location where you are so we can bring in the sunshine, okay? So let's do that. And as I wait for my guest to join the show, but you know what? I've gotten to the point now to where I'm going to totally rely on God and myself if there's no guest. I do have one scheduled. I'm not sure. I spoke with her this morning because she had a very interesting story that she wanted to tell me about. And it was so inspiring to me because I've known her for a great deal of years. And I watched her go through something that she reminded me of. Her daughter was 2 when she was going through a situation, and now her daughter is, I think, 31 or 32, and it was involving situations that just were with her daughter, with her child, and her husband, and I don't really want to give it away, but if she doesn't come on here quickly, I'm going to take these shades off. Y'all know what we do. We get our shades on. And we have them on, so that way by the time we get ready for some real talk on a real issue, the shades come off because there's not going to be any hidden. I speak the truth. I live my reality, and the reality is real every day and loving it truly. Y'all, that's for y'all people in Texas. We're here in Texas, and if you're not in Texas, you may not understand y'all, so let me say you all. But here in Texas, we say y'all. But nonetheless, that's what this is all about. And as I said, I'm waiting for her to join. If she should not join, then guess what? The Reality Coach is going to keep it real all on her own because she really inspired me and gave me hope. So anybody can tell me any temperatures out there yet? Let me see what I see. Hello, hello. Let me see. Bradford. Hi there. Hi, don't believe the hype. Y'all know I got these sunglasses on. And also Texas Metro News. Hello, hello, hello. And I also have some Facebook watchers, Douglas. He's my prayer warrior. He keeps me covered in prayer because when you're out here and you're trying to spread good cheer or you are good cheer, you need people praying for you because I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things going on with you in your life. But anyway, it's been long enough. I have tried to reach out to her, and she hasn't yet joined. Maybe she's having some technical difficulties. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go on anyway because it says press on anyway. So here we go. Y'all, shades up. Time to get real. Are y'all ready to get real? Well, I'm getting ready to get real. The title of this show is, Oh My God, There Is Hope. And this particular person, she came in and she was telling me about, reminded me of a situation she went through many years ago. And when she was going through this situation, I was her friend, but I didn't quite understand why she just was fighting the way she was and doing it the way she was doing it. But nonetheless, the situation was her daughter had went to school, and while at school, her daughter made an allegation against her stepfather. And she wasn't meaning for it to be an allegation. She was just saying something happened, and I really don't really remember the details, but I remember the situation that she was going through because, like I said, I've known her for a great deal of years, and I knew her husband. And I'm just telling you when and I'm ashamed to say this, but it is my truth, and I live the truth. when certain things happen in life that remind us remotely of a situation we have dealt with, we have a propensity to go with what makes us feel better and comfortable about our own situation. And saying that to say, the situation was an allegation where it was like her husband had done something to his stepdaughter. And me being one who's been through that, I quickly, well, even though I knew him, I was just, I don't know. It was just hard for me to believe. So I was in a tug of war with the truth. Okay, she's here. Great job. Thank you. Let me get her in here. Well, hello, Miss Cavett. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, honey, let me put my shades back on. She got her shades on. Y'all, hold on. Let me see. Okay, I took mine off because I had already started the show. But nonetheless, let me just tell you where I'm at. We can go ahead. I'm going to take my shades off because I'm really ready to tell the real deal. But you can leave yours on until you're ready to tell the real deal. Let me catch you up to speed. Thank you, first of all, for coming on, and I appreciate you. And I was explaining to them how you and I have been friends for a long time. And when you came in to visit with me, you reminded me of a situation that you went through back, what was it, maybe 23, 4, 5? How old is Jessica now?
Jessica is 30, so it happened when she was 8, so it happened 22 years ago.
Okay, 22 years ago, and I was giving them a brief rundown of the situation, and me being your friend, I was there with you as it all started, but I was telling them that I am ashamed to say this. I stuck with you, but then I didn't stay with you. You know what I mean? And that's how we as people do, because when something remotely reminds us of a situation in our life, we abandon the fact that these are my friends. These are people that have been there. I've been to your home. You've been to my home. I've been to your hometown, met your mother. I mean, it's almost like we were sisters, our sisters. I feel bad that I abandoned you because of my own personal issues. But nonetheless, you didn't abandon me. And thank you, my friend. Thank you for sticking with me.
You're welcome.
So nonetheless, I was telling them about the allegation or what happened with Jessica when she went to school, and I really didn't go into full details. So if you're ready to go into the full details and tell your truth about the situation, honey, take the shades off and let's get going.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody, or however we want to say the time of day is. Yes, I'm Marilyn. Like Dorothy said, her and I have been great friends for a long time, even before Jessica was born, really. But this one day, I was going to pick up my daughter from school, and I got a phone call from the office saying, you can come in, but you can't take your daughter. We have called the police. We have called Child Protective Service, and they're not giving your daughter back to you. And I'm thinking that this is a joke. I said, what are you talking about? They said, there's been allegation made in your home, and you can't come get your daughter. CPS has stepped in. And I'm like, this has got to be crazy. We'll give you the number, and you can go from there. And I'm like, well, what happened to my daughter? Tell me what they said happened to her. When did this happen? They kept on telling me it doesn't matter. You didn't protect her. We're going to protect her now. So you cannot, you can't speak to her. So me, not knowing what's going on, upset, I go up to the school anyway. They won't let me go inside the school, so I call my husband. I tell him what's going on. He comes and meet me, and we're both up there in rage because we're like, where's our daughter? Where's our daughter? You're telling us an allegation, but you're not telling us when it happened and what happened to her. Because I just dropped my daughter. I dropped her off to school this morning. I didn't think there was anything wrong with her. Well, I asked for emergency. Once I got to talk to CPS, I told them I want emergency hearing because I want to know what they have and what I need to know how I get my daughter back. Didn't know that I was going to go on a 6-month journey to get my daughter back. And I'm saying 6 months. It was exactly 6 months to that day that I got my daughter back. they kept on just, you know, CPS will get into your lives, yank your child life. You know, your child can go into the school and tell the teacher one thing, just joking, and another child can say, well, Jessica said this. The teacher pulled your child to the side. Now, Jessica, what did you say? Jessica could even say, oh, this, you know, she made up something and said to them. So the allegation was not true. I'm not saying it because that was my husband and I was married to him, but I just know from what she said, she was trying to tell them. I was just, you know, it wasn't true. And they would encourage her, you need to stick with the truth. You need to stick with the truth. Don't listen to your mom. Don't even, you can't even talk. That's not even your dad. The whole time Jessica, I met my husband when Jessica was one. So the whole time Jessica thought my husband was her father. Not that I was trying to hide that, but I felt like at the time that was not something she needed to know. They told her, oh, that's not your dad anyway. That's your stepdad. You know, I was kind of tell them, you know, let me talk to my daughter. I want to see my daughter. We go to court because I asked for that emergency hearing. You know, you got CPS. They're telling me one thing. When we get in front of the district attorney's office, we get in front of the judge, we get in front of CPS, all lies. They can't even keep their lives together because they, you know, they're so used to, okay, the system got my back. We can say what we want to say. Who is she? She's just a mother that had her daughter abused in her house. Ain't nobody going to believe her. And that's what they labeled me as. Oh, you'll stick with a man that abused your daughter before you stick with your child.
Wow.
Even though my husband moved out of the house because he's like, you know, you're not going to get your daughter back. Hmm. We had just moved into our house. We had a brand new home built. Jessica didn't even get to get in her room. You know, this is something that I always said. I wanted my daughter to grow up in a house. I grew up in a house. I wanted her to grow up in a house. She didn't even get to go. Her room was nicely decorated, ready for her. No Jessica. My husband, we only been in the house for a couple of months. He's like, this is supposed to be our dream home. He moved out, Marilyn. He's like, you're not going to get your daughter back. They thinking that you trust in me. You believe me over her. I need to get out of this equation so you can fight for your daughter.
Okay, hold on one second. I remember when he moved out. And let me tell you, the house was beautiful. And for him, it kind of softened my heart. And I get chill bumps and I almost want to cry. I'm such a crybaby too, Marilyn, you know that. But nonetheless, right. I almost want to cry because I watched this man take the liberty to move out of his home so she could have her daughter back. That's some real love. That is some real love. And to watch this man cry in front of me and say, there is no way. And I kind of knew, but I didn't. I was in a tug of war with truth versus lie and love versus hate. Because that's what my life has been. And when he broke down and cried in front of me, I knew then. No way. Which I kind of knew, but I knew then. No way. No way.
Exactly. And, but, you know, still, CPS and the state, do not, it's like what, they'll let a child that they know physically harm, abuse, neglect, they'll let that child fight for they'll have that child fend for herself. Won't get involved, close the case, everything. But a child that you can look at and tell that she's being loved, cared for, and there's no finding of the allegation you're making up.
It's called finding of facts. It's called finding of facts. I'm very familiar with that. Go ahead.
You don't have no evidence besides the allegation Jessica said that she wants to take back, but you in her head trying to make her think that it's true, that's your stepfather. But, you know, when you have the system so, you know, corrupt, I hate to say that, but when you have a system that just want to just tear you down, they will physically tear you down. But as a mother, then you know that the only way that you're going to get your daughter back, your child back home to you safe, you have to do everything you can. You know, some days you get drained out. You feel like you've been defeated. But you really have to, this is when your faith really comes in play. That's when the faith comes in play. My first attorney did a whack-a-doodle job. The only thing she was fighting for was the state. Wasn't fighting for me. I was her client. She took my money and said, I'm not, and she literally told me, I'm not going to go against the state.
Okay, hold that thought. And the reason why I'm saying this is because the journey to justice is long, and I am familiar with this as well. I had an attorney, a paid-for attorney, just like you. And the reason why I said, oh, my God, there's hope, because I'm fighting a battle right now, as everybody knows, and people always say, well, it goes back to your son. But the reason why it goes back to my son is because when Marilyn came in, she encouraged me, when she knows what I'm going through firsthand, to have people that love you turn against you and say all of the mean, vicious things that they're saying. She tells me, and she knows my son personally, she tells me, don't you give up. You know your child, and you keep fighting. And to have someone who has experienced the system tell you that, that gives you hope. And thank you. So I just wanted to make sure people understood why I said, oh, my God, there's hope. There are people that can help you as you go on your journey to justice. So this is what she did for me. She told me, stay with it. I don't care what people say. I don't care what they're doing. You stay on your journey to justice with your child. And that's what she did with her child. So go ahead.
You have to. You have to, and then when all the doors, and when you find, when you get one attorney, and they just read just a brief of why your daughter was taken from you, they label you, and they'll tell you, I don't think I can take this case. But then again, you, there's that one attorney you'll say, you know what, I'm going to take this case. Where, they'll ask the question that I ask, what's the evidence? Why they won't let you have your daughter? Why they won't put him in a loved one's home? Why is she in foster care? They take your child all the way somewhere that they wouldn't even live. They won't, and traumatize your child even worse. And then, you know, when you finally feel like, oh, in my whole, me, by them not allowing me to see my daughter, it infuriated me that I kept on saying, right, I knew that I couldn't get her home, but I wanted to see her. My thing was just to her, to see me, to let her know that you didn't do nothing wrong. Even though what you said is the reason why you're in this, you still didn't do nothing wrong because you're a child, I'm your mother, I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to get you home no matter what. I don't care what they say. They told me that they was going to take away my rights as a mom. They told me they were going to terminate my parental rights, and I was never going to get my daughter back. But I did not listen to that. You tell other people listen to your story like I listen to Dorothy. I know Dorothy, so I know her story. But that's why, you know, you have to reach out to other people, because there's other people say, I can't believe this happened to you. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anyone. I mean, they'll say it all the time. If it's Maryland, if this can happen to you, this can happen to anyone. I have to just get a government official. I asked my friend, hey, would you write a letter on my behalf? Hey, would you write a letter on my behalf? I took that one letter, sent it to 20 different officials, even up to the governor of Texas. I sent it to the head office in Austin.
Okay, so Marilyn, I want people to understand the amount of time and paperwork it takes to fight these systems. It's almost like they wear you down. I mean, you
they
are
do.
Just literally
you
drained. You're worried about your child. You're worried about what comes next. You're worried about meeting this deadline, trying to get this done, and plus still trying to survive, and plus trying to deal with your personal life as well as your professional life. And I watch you do this, and you have been such an inspiration to me, because I it slipped my mind, but you reminded me just the other day, Dorothy, you remember when I went through this? I remember, and it was a lot, but I did not even see how much it was on you until I'm in it. And let me tell you, like she said, if this can happen to two women who love our children, who have done nothing but provide for our kids and give them so much, it can happen to you.
And if you don't educate yourself and you're not knowledgeable about the system, you know, me, I always documented everything, because once that one CPS lady lied in court, I told myself, I'll never take what she said to be what it is. I'm going to always write down everything they tell me, everything that who said it. I'm going to write down every little thing. I don't care if they said I'm going to write that down, who said it. I was going to make sure I crossed my T's and dot my I's because she was never going to lie. She was never going to lie. And
what county was this? What county was this?
Dallas County.
Well, I know about them.
This was Dallas County. And then even my attorney says to me, you know, I said to him, matter of fact, there's certain stuff that I did that I told him after the fact because he never knew that I sent out all. I sent out like maybe, I say about 200, maybe 300 letters out to the state official. It might have been more than that, to be honest. Because once all my friends started piling in the letters, I had to make copies of those and send them to the different officials. All I asked them to do was, I need one letter from you. I sent it to the, you know, Rick Perry was the governor at the time. So, No. No, Rick Perry was not the governor at the time. Mm-hmm. George Bush was the president of the time. I sent it to George Bush. I sent him any type of letter that I did myself to find out who was the elected official, head of elected officials in the state of Texas. I sent it to the attorney general's office. I sent it to the big office over everybody in Austin. I made sure I sent everything to Austin first. Then I came back in and sent it to the local officials. Then I came back in and sent it to the Garland officials because it happened in my city. I sent it out. I'm telling you, within 24 to 48 hours, I started getting a bunch of calls. Ms. Cabot, my last name was Coleman, but my daughter's last name is Cabot. They said, Ms. Cabot, calls of my daughter, or Ms. Coleman, we got this letter, what can we do? Ms. Coleman, what can we do? And I told him, my attorney called me and he said, where's all these calls coming from? I said, I sent out these letters. I said, I know you was doing what you got to do, but I can't sit back. I have to do what I have to do as a mother. He's like, whatever you did, it worked. You got CASA. Now, keep in mind, my daughter had been gone for me 6 months, a week, in about 36 hours. I always kept count of how long she was gone because I always tell it to my attorney. My daughter's been gone for da-da-da-da. My daughter's been gone for this. My daughter, you know, I always get down to the date because I always remember that. That date will always stick with you, the time that they tell you, they give you a bombshell and take your child from you. You'll always remember that date. You'll always remember where you was at. You always gonna remember that time. So, So I told him, he said, you got some people coming to your house. You need to get there. I got there. It was CASA. She says, talk us through that day of what happened. Can we walk through your house and tell us what's going on? Can you give me a friend? If I told you to give me a friend that they can tell me something about you and your husband, could you do that? I just threw it at them. She said, we got court tomorrow. We have court tomorrow.
So they did court? Okay, so they did court that quickly? You didn't get a – did you know court was happening?
No.
Wow.
I didn't.
Okay, and I want people –
My attorney called me. He said, do you know we got court tomorrow? He's like, they're asking for a hearing.
Okay.
I said, good.
I want people to understand how they do things. They do not prepare you. You're just thrown out there, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And if you don't keep up with your paperwork and you don't have good contact information, you will, as they say – get lost in the sauce.
Now I did make enemies along the way, but at the time, I didn't care. As long as my attorney believed in me, and whoever, and if you didn't believe in me, you got tossed away. That came with family members, so-called friends, whoever. If you did, I think people who I met was more supportive to me than people that I felt like should have been there for me. Is the people who I met along my journey was the one who was most supportive to me. People who I thought that I knew to be there for me, them the ones fell by the wayside. They did not want to be labeled as, hey, what if this is true and I'm your friend? Then I can't look at people and then they're going to look at me and think I'm what you are. So let me eliminate myself from you right now so I don't have to worry about this later. And
how
that was okay with me.
How did that affect you?
You know what? I was so driven on my daughter that I felt like you did me a favor to let me know what type of person you are. because I can respect you more if you just by not believing in me, by sticking around me. I don't want that. You have to really believe me. And if you don't, you did me a favor by eliminating yourself by getting out of my life, because I was on a journey anyway, so it didn't even matter. Mm-hmm. So by that, I wasn't going to keep on, you know, to myself. The one thing that I told the CPS and I told the district attorney's office, if you feel that strong about my husband doing something to my daughter, go after him then. If you got proof that he did something to my daughter, do it. Go after
and
him.
And I remember you said to me back then, Dorothy, I don't care. I don't care nothing about him when it comes to my daughter. I will help them fight to get him whatever punishment.
Proof.
If there's proof and they got it, I'm with them. And I know the restraints you went through with your husband at that time. She was not the type of mother that was sitting there saying, oh, honey, I love you. She was the type of mother, look, I love you, but look, when it comes to my daughter, love ain't got nothing to do with this.
No, and the thing I will always say about he's my ex-husband now, he always knew that he was not going to come between my daughter and me. He was not going to try to be that type of husband, feel like, oh, if we got to stand closer together so we can prove that they're lying about me. He got out of the way because it was not about me trying to prove me and him. I had to fight for my daughter. You know, that's all that, like, I wanted my daughter to know, I don't care what you say, I'm your mom, and I'm going to get you home one way or another. You coming home. Even though they trying to tell me, they trying to terminate my parental, that's the worst thing any mother want to hear in a sentence when they're trying to get their daughter back, when they trying to get their child back, that someone's trying to take away your right as a mother, and when you know you didn't do nothing but love your child, and when they trying to make you feel like you this, you know, this evil mother that you allowed abuse to your child, and you were so stupid, you was up under your husband, you didn't even see your child being up. That's the lowest, to me, that's like the lowest in your point of your life that you can be as a woman first, then as a mother. Because because they take something from you. But me, knowing my daughter, when she would talk to me, she's like, I can't talk to you. She would, when I go and visit her, she would whisper to me and say, will you tell my dad? I said, I'm sorry. I said, Jessica, don't worry about your dad. He loves you too, but don't worry about that. She's mm-hmm. like, Mom, I want to tell the truth, but they keep on telling me I got to stick to what I said. And I said, that's fine. That's okay. I would always tell my attorney, hey, this is, you hear what she said? You know what she said this. She's saying that she wants to tell the truth, but she can't. And he's like, we just going to have to work our strategy another way. But my thing is, I really think I would have lost my daughter if I had not have got it out of the, you know, if I hadn't have took it out of Dallas County. I had to take it out of Dallas County and somebody else be aware of it. Because I asked the judge to recuse herself because I really thought she was being biased. Not because she wasn't a white woman. She was a black woman. She was like me. This could happen to her. But that didn't mean nothing to me. Because she shows her biasness and she believed everything CPS and what the state brought her, that she never tried to look at any evidence that I said. She labeled me and she showed her bias toward me. So I asked her to recuse herself. She got off the case. She recused herself and they brought in somebody else. I had to tell, you know, I just felt like she was not listening to anything.
Okay, now let's, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure people understand where the hope is coming from. Way to fight. First of all, congratulations. Way to fight and way to, you really gave a detailed account of how to fight for your children. And I must say thank you for being an inspiration to me, because it is very, very tough when people turn their back on you and they label you then you have all of these. It seems like you've got everybody against you. I mean, everybody, even the judges, the public defenders. I had a public defender. I had one, but now I'm paying a free world. But when you get that one person, like she said, to believe in you and believe in your story and your child, then there's hope. And that's what I experienced. But here's what I want people to understand. after now, we're going to fast forward to where are you now with this? How long did you said it was a six-month journey.
Well, when I went to court that day, I was still a little eerie. So I told Bruce, my attorney, you know, I got a good feeling, but I got a bad feeling. Before I knew, me and him stood up, CPS, mother's getting the child back. We found no finding to whatever was there. And mom getting the child back today. And place is closed, da-da-da. I looked at him and I said, what happened? He's like, you won, but he's like, this makes no sense. For all the hoopla they did, well, they came in here to terminate your parental right. They throwing your daughter back in your face and closing the case.
Okay.
He's like, you already know. I said, it was a bunch of BS. That's what this was. They took my daughter through this for no reason at all. And I said, I thank God for CASA stepping in and seeing the truth. But that what made me be a CASA advocate myself. I mean, that's what made me draw me in to do it. I mean, you know, that's the main reason why family members, they can't afford no attorney. They don't know the knowledge of, they got, you know, who to go to, who to turn to. They'll let the system walk. If you don't educate yourself, they'll walk all over you and spit on you and keep on until, you know, you have to just, you're lost. Your child is lost in the system. And you'll never know. And they don't care about finding out the truth. They want to do whatever they have to. Whatever they try to make it sound right for them, that's all they want to do. I mean, I have a little respect for CPS, but I have some respect for some, the good ones. But we don't, you know, I have a lot of respect for the good ones. But the ones who burnt out and got too many caseloads, they just want to get something off their docket, I have no respect because they're messing with a child's life. And for every child that's neglected, that's the child that falls behind. They don't, you know, don't know. No care's coming. They don't know who's going to be there for them. You know, they'll close that case. But their child, like my daughter, who was loved, they'll find no finding. That's the one they try to wreck. But, you know, the one that needs, that's what I always kept on telling, why y'all don't put this effort into children who really do need y'all's help?
Now, that's some real talk right there. That's a real deal right there.
It's real talk. I mean, why don't y'all go out there and help those children that really needs it? Y'all parents that love their child, give their child a good home, and y'all don't do that. But right now, my daughter's fine. She don't even remember that. She don't talk. We've never talked about it in 22 years.
Mm.
But she knows what it is. She doesn't even. I think it's like a bad part of her life. She felt like it's a nightmare. She doesn't even think about it. And I don't blame her. We don't talk about it. You and I talked about it that day because whenever you told me about what's going on with your son, it just hit me. Like, Dorothy, you know what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you have to be. You have to be that thick skin on you. You got to know whatever you believe in, this is where you put your
faith.
I mean, you really put your faith in it. You have to really walk in faith when you're on that journey because that's the only way you'll come through. Because people may tell you one thing, but you know your faith is what you got to hold on to get you over that hump. Because you're going to have them bad days, you're going to have them disgusting days, and you're going to have some good days. But for every bad day, you know that the sunshine gonna eventually shine. You know,
and I'm gonna tell you why I'm so excited that Marilyn is my friend. And let me tell you, I'm a strong believer in God. My faith is all in Him. And when I look at her life with her daughter now, it's like they are like, well, her daughter still respects the fact that this is mom, but they are like best friends. Matter of fact, when I sit back, I'm still mad about Hawaii, too. Let me just hurry and throw that out.
You get to go next time.
Okay, now, they just came back from Hawaii together, and I am still upset that I didn't get to go, but she said next time. And she will. And when she says that, one thing about Marilyn, I know when she says I will go next time, y'all going to see me next year in Hawaii with Marilyn and Jessica. But I see where life is now for you, and you went through all of that. I mean, you lost weight, your hair was thinning. I mean, she went through hell and back, but look at what God is doing now. When God before you, who can dare stand against you?
Nobody.
And to see
you really have to, but you really have to have that faith. You can't just say, you can't have faith when you're in good, when you're doing good in life and everything is going great. You can't just have it faith then when it's your hardest time, when it's, you feel like you don't have nobody else. That's when you have to hold on to that faith, because that will get you through everything. You have to know that, and you have to believe in it. You can't just say it. You got to really believe in it. And that's how you get through all of that. Because, you know, Dorothy, even though I went through that with Jessica 22 years ago, you know, when I adopted my children from the system, I had to go. I needed your help then.
And let me tell you, let me just stop and pause right there. Now, y'all know I keep it real. Okay, let me just say, here's the real deal. When she did this move, y'all, I almost lost my mind. I'm just telling you, I really did. Here she is. Her daughter is now, what, 19?
18.
She was 18 at the time. And when she said she was going to adopt a severely special needs child, and they were twins, when she adopted them, that, I was like, ain't no way. No way, no way. It's time for you to live. But her heart remembers how that could have been her daughter. And those children,
you know,
needed love.
But the thing about, but the spinoff of this is people, and I'm not ashamed to tell nobody, at the time, I was married to someone younger than me. He had an affair. He had, and the result of that, the two children that are mine, he had by another woman. Both of the children came in his world special need. She did not want the children. Me and my ex was getting ready to be divorced. When I got that phone call, they didn't have nobody that wanted the children or nothing like that. And I talked to my ex at the time. We was getting ready to go through a divorce. But he couldn't take care of them either. He loved them. He just couldn't take care of them. I didn't want to be with him because after that affair and all of this, but my little boy, well, he was mine. I felt like that was a good, I feel like the children that I have, that I adopted, I feel like they was a gift from God. So Dorothy knows I always said I never wanted any more kids. My business was thriving. I was doing, everything was going great. My daughter was going off to college. Everything was going great in my life. Matter of fact, I was getting ready to get me a place in Florida. Everything was set. Me being 41 at the time, you know I wasn't about to go and do this again.
And you know I was upset. I was upset because
no,
I had me a place to go in Florida.
That was a blessing from God. That was truly a blessing from God. God gives you blessing in mysterious ways. Dorothy said, Marilyn, I just can't see you doing it. I said, Dorothy, you know, they need, you know. People, if you ain't got to be the one taking care of them, don't worry about it.
And that's what she told me too, y'all. Mind you, she talked to me real. She straight told me, Dorothy, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and it's not about you.
They don't have nobody. I kept on saying the same thing there. They don't have nobody, but they got me.
Remarkable.
They have me. I mean, my little boy, when I say special needs, he had came home. He got a NICU for 6 months. I got him. He had a G-tube. He had a G-tube on a pump. He had breathing problems. Both of my children had shunt. They was very sickly. They came in this world 4 months early. Weighed only less than 2 pounds. They wasn't even supposed to make it here. They made it, and I felt like they was my gift from God. And I always told the doctor from day one, if my little boy can fight from day one and say he want to be here, how as a mother I cannot fight with him? So me and him and I went on that journey together with Jessica, helped my daughter. But when I had my children for 1 year, the father who never signed away his rights came and took the children from me, and there was nothing I could do. Everybody that told me I had no rights, because I was just a stepmother, because me and him hadn't gotten legally divorced, and there was nothing I could do. I said to Dorothy, I need you to do this for me. Your friend helped me out. I had to go get me an attorney. Nobody would take my case again. They said it was a hard case. They would not take it. I had this one attorney said, hey, I'll take this case, but it's going to be about $20,000. No lie. I need $5,000 to get started on it. I said to the attorney, I need to get my children out of the system because I knew that my ex-husband was not going to do right by the children. And I knew I had to be their voice. I knew I had to be their protector. And then most of all, I knew I had to be their mother. It was a hard fought again, but I got them.
She battled the same system that she went through before. She was battling. And y'all, when I tell you, this woman here is a warrior when it comes to battling for what is right. She has definitely inspired me. And I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. And let me tell you, when you do what is right, just to see how she loved those two children and her daughter loving them. They embraced these kids as if they were there, like she had them at birth. I mean, these kids want for absolutely nothing. The same love she gave to her biological daughter, she gives. And go ahead and tell them a little bit more, because we gotta get ready. We got about maybe 15 more minutes, a little less. I want them to hear about where are your children at now? Where are they now?
Well, this past summer, June the 28th, you know, my little boy, he went to heaven, you know. I know he got his angel. He gave me 11 and a half wonderful years. 11 and a half wonderful years. I have my days. I mean, I have my moments. But, you know, I was so honored to be his mother because he did. Jessica, I learned strength from Jessica. But I learned a lot of strength from Trey and Naya, because when somebody tells you that, when you know something is right, when you believe in something is right, when you fighting for your children and you fighting for helpless children that they can't fight for themselves, that's the best fight you can give. And I'm so grateful that they chose me to be their mother. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I know the situation ain't the best situation, but it was great for me because, you know, I got to be their mom, still get to be my daughter's mom. Jessica's doing great. I mean, you know, it's just, from every sorrow, there's also a smile behind it, because I'm glad I went through that. It made me stronger, and it made me feel like I don't take stuff lying down. If it don't sit right with me, I fight for it because, you know, I don't just fold. Now, I do choose my battle. I mean, you know, you choose your battle. But, you know, you pray about it, and then you go for it. That's why I tell Dorothy, hey, you need me, I'm there. I'm not the type of person go along to get along. I believe in what's right. And if I have to stand by myself, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. Long I know that I'm doing the right thing.
And y'all, I'm telling you, she means every word that she's stating. And the reason why I have these shades on, because this may not be something that you want to hear or even want to see. You need to understand. This is real talk. We are mothers, and she has encouraged me beyond reason. And the reason why I say there is hope, oh my God, there is hope. I look at her life now versus then. I know she couldn't have seen her life the way it is. And she has proven beyond measures that when you put God first and you keep the faith and you continue to do what's right, everything going to be all right. Everything. And you don't give up your fighting. You stay in the fight on the journey to justice, whatever journey to justice you are on. If you stay in that journey and you stay with your faith and you put in the work, it will work out. And I'm telling you, her business seems to flourish even more. I mean, I know it's nothing but God. And her heart has been
absolutely
so pure from the moment when she started these journeys to this day. And it seems like she hasn't missed a beat. At least that's the impression she gives off. But when you know what you know how to fight for what is right with all your might, it will turn out all right. And her life is beautiful. Her daughter is gorgeous. And Naya. And Trey was such a bundle of joy. I mean, he even inspired me. Even her daughter, Naya, they inspire me. They all inspire me because I know that Trey, he lived his best life.
Oh, he did.
When they thought he wasn't going to make it, Trey lived his best life. And he couldn't really talk, but you knew he was happy because he would give you that smile. He would do something to let you know life is good no matter what. And he was a grateful young man. Grateful child.
He was.
And Naya, she's so sweet, y'all. She is, man, I can't, to do what Marilyn done, the reality coach probably ain't cut from that cloth. But to see what she gained from it, I would love to be that cloth. I would be honored to be that cloth because she gained so much. And to see the beautiful young woman that Jessica has turned into, I mean, who would ever thought? Who would ever thought? And look how beautiful. And look, you all would not know that Marilyn has been through this. Look how beautiful she looks. God will preserve you. I mean, and she was like, well, I need to look good when I get, because she's like, do I need to look? I said, honey, you look beautiful without no makeup.
Well, I didn't want to look, you know, come on, real talk. you got to look your best. You know, we on Dorothy Rousey. I mean, I'm not that I did a whole lot. I just wanted to make sure that I represent you. You asked me to be a guest, and I wanted to make sure I come through for you. But, you know, what we speak about is truthfully, and it's 100. You know, I give you all my support, my love, my friendship, and, you know, I'm there for you. You know, like I always tell you, Dorothy, I don't know, you know, when, like you said, you and I hadn't talked for a while, but when Jessica called me out of blues and she said, Mom, I know you and me, Dorothy, hadn't spoken in a while, but do you know what's going on? I was like, no, what's going on? And she told me about you losing your son, and she told me about your other son. I didn't even call you. I just knocked on your door.
She sure did.
I didn't call you. Because, you know, when as a friend, true friend, even if you don't talk a day, a year, you know how to pick back up. I know you and I lost track. You know, we lost track. It ain't no excuse, but we did. But all I felt was, you know, that sense of loss. All I did was knock on your door and say, Dorothy, why didn't you call me? That's all I said. And you and I have been talking ever since then. Because, you know, when Jessica told me that, it just hit me to my core. And I felt bad as a friend. Like, she felt like she couldn't even call me. She didn't even call me. I mean, she went through all this by herself. I know she had family, but I should have been there for her to go through this with. And that tore me down to the core to know that you went through losing your son and your other son was incarceration. That's hard. And I really admire you. I mean, that's hard. That is truly hard. And it's just me and you been friends, but the fact that you went through two tragic, and I wasn't there for neither one of them to be there and say, Dorothy, I'm here. You know, and I'm not a talker person. I'm an action person.
And that's why
you can talk all day long, but your action shows. That's why I didn't bother calling you. You would have told me, oh, Marilyn, I'm all right. But I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to see you for myself. That's why I knocked on your door. Even if you hadn't answered, I would have, you know, kept on. I could be a bugaboo if I have to be. But my thing was I just needed you to know I'm here. I, whatever you need, I'm here. And that's what friendship should be about.
And I just thank you for being here for me the way that you are. It is difficult and very trying. And I was telling you about how people are saying it always results back to your son, and you told me that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, that's your child. That's what it's all about. And don't you dare stop fighting, because you watched me as a stylist not doing hair on a Saturday for 10 years straight because I devoted a lot of time to my children. And you really encouraged me. And you're right. I'm going to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. And I'm going to, and I was telling you that my son's murderer, the one that murdered my youngest son, he will be home, complete sentence, finished, done, next month on the 25th.
Wow.
And my son that I'm fighting for, I don't know when he's coming home, but I know he's coming home. But
yes, he is.
Just to have the system do this, you have a dead body. You have my son's ashes. And he's, the murderer of my son is on his way home without any recourse. He's not going to be on paper, which is parole. He's free. And my son, like I was telling you, Melon Draylen, is sitting there on a life sentence, and there's evidence to free him. But the system is just not fair.
I know it's not, but it's not, but that's why a woman like you, a strong mother who believes in her son and know that he's going to be home soon, knowing he's going to be home soon, you keep fighting and you hold on to your faith. He's going to come home, Dorothy. You know, you're going to, this journey you're going through for you and your son's going on this journey and you're going on this journey too. But when it's all said and done, you're going to be glad you fought the good fight. He's going to come home.
Thank you.
He's coming home.
I know that.
It's just a journey you have to go on. And it's just, you know how the system is. But, you know, you don't lose hope. You know, it's just you just fight harder.
Yeah, and it's people like you that keep me hopeful because I see your life now, and I never envisioned. Well, I always knew you were going to be great because you've always just been driven. And to see your life now and to see Jessica and to even see Mike still smiling, he never lost his smile. He never lost his belief in himself. And he never wanted to stop seeing you and Jessica flourish. Even though you all are no longer together, he's impacted for the rest of his life with this, but he still keeps a smile on his face as well. And you all just give me such hope. I mean,
Dorothy, you know, you will, you know, like I say, each day, you know, and you have the time. You have the right to break down. You have a right to cry. You have a right to stay in that bed and say, I can't do it no more. But that's when you have to lean on the Lord and lean on your friends. And, you know, that's when you have to lean on those people that give you the strength you need when you don't have it yourself. Because sometimes you will have them, and you're okay. But it just makes you fight a tougher fight, which you already doing. You're doing everything. You just got to keep on going.
And like I said.
And he's going to come home soon. Just know that. Like you said, you got a wonderful attorney. And that was a gift from God. You defined that good attorney. That was a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, that's how you're going to, he using the knowledge that he knows to go against the system with your help. To get your son home.
Well, thank you, Marilyn, for sharing your beautiful testimony. There are people that have said, great job. Thank you so much. You is such an inspiration. And I there are no words to say what you do for me and what you have done, doing, and will do. And thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And
you're welcome,
of course, Dorothy. We'll probably be in touch. All right. Bye. Okay, you all, thank you for tuning in, and I hope there was something that you received from this this show that will give you hope. I hope that we're being an inspiration, because that's what the Reality Coach is all about. That is the real deal on the Reality Coach show. We are here to give you hope. Hope when it seems hopeless. Until next week, you all be blessed. Keep your head up and keep the good fight going. I'm your host, the Reality Coach, and you've been watching The Real Deal Show. Be blessed, and to God be all the glory until our next story. I can't. We're going to bring the sunshine. All right? Now that's some real truth. that you can take with you. Real every day and loving it truly, y'all. All right. Bye for now.